السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله وحده، والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده. الحمد لله وحده، والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. لن ينال الله لحومها ولا دماؤها ولكن يناله التقوى منكم، صدق الله العظيم. علماء الكرام، respected brothers and those sisters who listen over receivers, over the past few days you have been listening to many, many talks on the virtues of Qurbani, virtues of Hajj, over the radio stations. And you've been reading so much in the pamphlets that are distributed in the masajid with regards to Qurbani, with regards to Hajj. In the short time that we have, we can be discussing so many different issues in this particular Jumu'ah. The aspects of Hajj, the Hujjaj are gathering there. Very soon they will be leaving for Mina and then congregating in Arafat, that memorable khutbah of Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam in Arafat, which we can say was the constitution for human rights. Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam advises to the entire mankind. That khutbah itself requires hours and hours, and we will not be able to do justice. Then also all the different aspects of Hajj. Then we have Qurbani. Then we have these blessed and Mubarak days that we are in now, the Ashra of Dhul Hijjah. They are very, very Mubarak. They are very blessed. There are so many virtues that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has mentioned. Then again, the nights of Dhul Hijjah, the first 10 nights, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala himself has taken a qasam upon it. So there are so many different things that could be discussed. But it's obvious that we cannot really do justice to even one single item in the 15-20 minutes that we have. So I just wish to bring to your attention one or two things with regards to this qurbani that we make, and whatever else Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala puts in mind. As far as the qurbani is concerned, unfortunately up till now, after having had so much of knowledge being disseminated, and there's so much of propagation of this virtuous act of qurbani, still there are so many people who say, we don't have the money for qurbani, what must we do? And I'm not talking about the very poor and the very needy. I'm talking about those people who have so much of items in their home which are over and above their necessities. They are sitting with television screens that are size of the cinema's screens. They're sitting with so much of luxuries at home, and still they are questioning that, is qurbani wajib on me or not? So let us not take it so lightly. Qurbani is an important item. It is sad that we are only promoting qurbani as something that will help and assist the needy and the poor. Most of the time that we are being told that there are lots of poor people in this country or that country or this, and they need our assistance and our help. So therefore we should be making qurbani and sending our animals to them. Indeed, that is a great benefit of qurbani. That's a great benefit. Nobody can deny that benefit. Whatever Islam has prescribed, there is great benefit in it. The 5 times salat, there is great benefit. The Hajj, look at the benefits of Hajj. It shows the world that the Muslim Ummah, they are following a universal religion. There is no such thing as segregation or discrimination on the basis of color, race, creed. Look at the people of different nationalities, different colors, different persuasions. Then again, following the different mazahib, somebody is following the Maliki mazhab, some following the Shafi'i mazhab, some following the Hanafi mazhab, the Hanbali mazhab. But look at the unity there. There are differences of opinion which are based on Quran and Sunnah. They are based not on whims and fancies, based on Quran and Sunnah. So there is such tolerance that we will never find in the world as we find in Arafat, in Muzdalifah, in Mina. In our masajid, sometimes we will fight and argue over these things. But have we ever heard of a person fighting and arguing with the Imam of Haram Sharif? That why is he following the Hanbali mazhab? Or the some Shafi who is raising his hands? Or is making loudly Ameen? All the other differences that we find in the ways of ibadat, which are based on Quran and Sunnah, I'm not talking about whims and fancies. Because there are lots of people who follow no mazhab. They follow their own whims and fancies. I'm talking about those differences which are based on Quran and Sunnah. You will find all those differences present in those people that are performing their Hajj. In Arafat, Mina, Muzdalifah, you will find all those people, different groups. But there is no fight, no clash. Everybody accepts, everybody tolerates. Then look at the teachings of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Look at the khutbas that he gave. We have to study these things. We have to read. It must not depend only on a 15-20 minute talk of Jumu'ah day for our Islamic knowledge and education. The Jumu'ah talk is only for motivation. That is all. So therefore, this is something that is a benefit that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala shows to the world. But now we cannot say that the benefit, that the purpose and whole maqsad and objective of Hajj is to gather people of all colors and all races in one field. So that somebody tomorrow could come up with something else. They say we can have a pop concert and we'll have it free and we'll have it for the people of the world. All races, all colors, all persuasions. That we will say that that is now something that's acceptable. So there are lots of things which go as benefits, but that is not the objective. The salat has got its benefits. Now fasting, if somebody says that the great objective of fasting is so that we may be able to lose some weight in the month of Ramadan, so that the women folk and the others who are spending so much of money at way less, so they will not have to spend that money, they rather fast in Ramadan. So can we say now that is a purpose of fasting? So like that, the qurbani has got its benefit, that lots of people will get meat, they will get flesh of animals to eat, but that is not the purpose. Therefore, I have given this example many times, that if a person, for example, has to slaughter 100,000 animals, and of the very best quality, and he spends thousands or millions of rands also, but in that particular town, where he is, where Eid Namaz is taking place, then he slaughters all those animals before the Eid Namaz. He slaughters all those animals before the Eid Namaz. And then he distributes that meat to all the poor and needy of the country also. Ask any Mufti Sahib if that Qurbani is valid. Ask any Mufti Sahib if that Qurbani is valid. They will say, Alhamdulillah, a lot of meat was available for distribution to the poor and needy. But the qurbani is not valid because the qurbani has to be done after that Eid Namaz. In whichever town, city, there are different Eid Namazes, then at least the first Eid Namaz that takes place after that is valid. So now what was this deficiency in the quality of the meat of those animals, if somebody has to ask, what was the deficiency? Can anybody say that those 100,000 animals that were sacrificed, there was a deficiency in the quality? Or the poor and needy did not benefit? So it shows that qurbani animal is something different. Therefore Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, لَنْ يَنَالَ اللَّهَ لُحُومُهَا وَلَا دِمَاؤُهَا وَلَكِنْ يَنَالُهُ التَّقْوَى مِنْكُمْ. Neither does the flesh of those animals nor the blood of that animal reach Allah ta'ala. It's a taqwa in your heart that Allah ta'ala wants to see. Allah ta'ala wants to see with what sincerity you are slaughtering that animal. Therefore, if a person is slaughtering the best of all animals, And after that, he does not seem to see any apparent benefit, because he says, in my house there's plenty of meat and everybody in my neighborhood got plenty of meat. Then it shows he's got no sincerity, because that qurbani was supposed to be done for the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala wants to see that he's following that sunnat of Ibrahim alayhi salatu was salam. And Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu was salam, we must remember, was not sacrificing a sheep or a ram. He was told to place the knife on the throat of his son. Now, which one of us would have been able to do such a thing today? That was the real test, where the knife is being placed on the beloved son, and that too after so much of du'as in old age, he gets the son. Now he's told, place the knife on the throat of the son. At that stage, Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam did not know at all that Allah Ta'ala will ransom the son and replace with the ram. Did he know that before that? So that was the real qurbani. Allah Ta'ala made it easy for us. And we get so much of sawab again on that qurbani. Then again, if it was just for distribution to poor and needy, then how is it permissible for us to eat of that meat then? Zakat, can a person eat of his own zakat? If a person says that I am giving zakat so that that poor person returns so much to me, or I will then eat up again so much of that zakat, will that be valid? And the qurbani animal, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam himself is eating from his own qurbani animal. Did Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam ever eat sadqa things? So there is a big difference. Then again, look at the deficiencies in the animal. If the animal is blind and so many other defects that have been mentioned in the books of jurisprudence, then the qurbani is not valid. Yet that animal could have been a very fat and a healthy one. So there's something else that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala wants out of us. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he has encouraged us not just so that it is for distribution to the poor. That's a great benefit for the poor and needy. Therefore, if this qurbani is going to go out of our lives by just giving away the money overseas and we say over, many people, they don't want to do qurbani, not even one animal, because they say the yard will get dirty. Nauzu billahi min zalim. Nafil qurbani is no problem, give it out wherever we wish to give. But at least in front of our children, we should be making one qurbani or two qurbanis so that they see what is qurbani. And explain to them what Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam did. So we are given great lessons in this. Lessons there are plentiful that we can take from the qurbani animals. When we are placing the knife over the throat of those animals, then I have mentioned this many times, that we should be placing that knife at the same time over the throat of our evil desires. And that example, that when does the sun rise? The sun rises after the horizon has turned red. We have to look at the sky. First you will find the horizon turning red. Thereafter the ball of the sun comes out. And that redness that is there is also is because of that sun which is about to come out. But first it has to turn red. In the same way, the desires of our heart, they have to bleed. The evil desires, we have to bleed them. They must surround our heart. There must be a kind of pain that we experience, like how that animal now we are slaughtering, the blood is going to flow. Like that, these evil desires, when they come into our hearts, then we must place the knife on the throat of those evil desires. When that is going to happen, and the horizons of the heart will turn red with the blood of our evil desires, then we will find the suns, S-U-N-S, of the muhabbat and the love of Allah Ta'ala then rising in the heart. We don't want to sacrifice any of our evil desires. We just want to give a little bit of money, charity here, a little bit of qurbani there, a little bit of that there. But what about the qurbani of those evil desires that's in our hearts? There Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam was prepared to put the knife over the throat of his son. And here we cannot put the knife over the throat of our haram desires. And if we're going to give up that haram, then nobody else is going to benefit but ourselves. Because I have said many times that in haram, the spelling, if you have to take the English spelling, is H-A-R-double-A-M. So there's harm in it too, and it's double A, that means double harm. There's no goodness in haram. It brings nothing but restlessness, anxieties, problems and worries. That is what it brings. So therefore, this was a test of Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. And Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam passed all the tests with flying colors. Now, Hazrat Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani Rahmatullah Alayhi has mentioned that these 10 days, which are the Mubarak days, if a person has to honor them, if a person has to restrain himself from haram, if a person has to make extra ibadat, zikr, tilawat, and appreciate these 10 days of Zilhijjah, in which we are now, the days and nights, because the fasting of each day is equivalent to 1 year's fasting. Where can we keep one whole year fast? And this remaining awake in ibadat for the night, some part of the night also, if the person sincerely stays awake, and of course he has made his Isha namaz with jamaat, if it's for a male person, and also the Fajr he makes it with jamaat, then he gets the rewards of staying awake in Laylatul Qadr. What a great, great reward. So he has mentioned in his Uniyatul Talibin that the person who will appreciate and value these 10, then Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala will reward him with 10 things. That means these 10 days at least, it is not a question of only the 10 days. It is a whole lifetime that we have to go on and on. Hatta ya'tiyaka al-yaqeen. It is until death that a mu'min and a Muslim will have to remain obedient to Allah Ta'ala and His Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. And it will be as every time that he is outside or inside his house or wherever he is as if there is a sword at his neck. For the person who is a mu'min and a Muslim and claiming love of Allah and His Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, then there are definitely lots of tests and trials. But then the rewards are also tremendous, tremendous. What Allah Ta'ala gives in the hearts of those people who are prepared to make those sacrifices, it cannot be explained in words. It is an experience that Allah Ta'ala gives to them. And nobody can deny it, because millions of them have experienced it. So therefore, that is something that we have to do, that place the knife on the throat of our evil desires, on the throat of our anger, which is causing such havoc in our homes. Marriages are breaking up, children separating from parents, brothers and sisters separating, staff and bosses and managers at loggerheads, that there are murders and killings, all because of this anger, unjustified anger. So it's easy to place the knife on the throat of an animal. But what about the animal that's within us? When are we going to place the knife on the throat of our anger, our greed, our evil passions, our envy, our jealousy? Now all these animal instincts that are in us, when are we going to place the knife on the throat of that? So therefore he says, if a person he respects and honors this 10, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will give him barakat in his rizq. That's the first thing he mentions. Barakat in his rizq and sustenance. Now the person is obedient to Allah Ta'ala, is respecting these 10 days, is not going into all those gambling dens and casinos and watching all the filth on television screen and on porn sites on the internet and reading all those filthy magazines and articles and casting lustful glances and engaging in other haram. Now look what he's getting in return. Barakat in the rizq. We are not talking about abundance and plentiful. Plentiful, there's plentiful. Now look at the floods in many places. Plentiful of water, but can anybody drink that water? What is that water carrying? It's carrying so much of dead animals, urine, stool, and all kinds of filth. And if a person has to drink that flood waters, then he will end up with bilharzia. So it's not the plentiful, it's the barakat that Allah Ta'ala gives. So many people have very little, but they are able to do so much in that little, in the little time, in the little wealth, in the little huts, in the little shacks, in the little homes, in the little earnings, they are able to do so much that people with plentiful are unable to do. That's barakat. Then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will give barakat in his life also. That lifespan may be 20 years, 50 years or 60 years. But the barakat in that life, look at what Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi and so many others, look at the volumes of books that they wrote. If we have to compare that in accordance with the lifespan, we will say it's impossible. Look at those people who used to read 100,000 times Durood Sharif and make plentiful of istighfar and then read Tahajjud and Ishraq and Chash. We can't accomplish one thing in all that time. Now, in which time did they accomplish that? If we have to work out according to our time, we'll say that means they didn't even live in this world. In that time that they used to accomplish all these things, we can't even accomplish one thing. So what was it? It was that barakat that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gave in the time. So barakat in health, barakat in wealth, barakat in home. Then again the third thing that he mentions is Allah Ta'ala, because of the safeguard or because of the protection that he gave to himself, he stayed away from all the haram and he appreciated these days, Mubarak days and nights. Allah Ta'ala will protect his wealth, his property and his children. protection of wealth, property and children as a consequence of that. Then again, when it is a time without explanation, now there's no time for that. If the person is passing away, that sakrat, Allah Ta'ala will make it easy. On the day of Qiyamah, that scale of deeds, Allah Ta'ala will make it very weighty, the deeds of good deeds, the way, scale of good deeds. On that side, Allah Ta'ala will make it weighty. Then this person will be saved from the tabaqat of Jahannam. In Jahannam and all the different stages of Jahannam, fire of hell, Allah Ta'ala will protect him. Allah Ta'ala will increase his stages in Jannat. So many other things have been mentioned. Now all this on what? Just appreciating these 10 days and nights. Making ibadah, zikr, tilawat, doing halal earning, not engaging in haram, that's all. Islam is not something that's extreme, you just can't accomplish it, impossible, there's no such thing. Islam is beautiful, practical, doesn't say everybody must close the shops and go and make ibadat for the 10 days. But at least stay away from haram and do everything that is pleasing to Allah Ta'ala. So therefore that Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, he showed his ishq and love for Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. This ishq and love, when it comes into the heart, then a person cannot hide that ishq and love. Person who is madly in love, then we'll see that he behaves mad too. That person can't sleep, he can't think right, everything because that illicit beloved is in his head all the time. The people who are in love with Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, they do not go mad. They stay absolutely normal. They enjoy all the good things of life. Nobody may say it's haram. But they stay within the parameters of Sharia and Allah ta'ala as a consequence gives them sukoon in their hearts. Such sukoon that the kings also do not know. Aashiqo ka dil banaya aina Allah ne aur jila di hai use husn e Rasoolullah ne. Aise hote hain khuda ke maanne wale bashar, aise hote hain khuda ke maanne wale bashar, kar diya qurban bete ko khaleelullah ne. What kind of ishq and muhabbat? Allah Ta'ala's hukam, put the knife on the throat of your beloved son. He never questioned, O Allah, what will you gain if I have to take the life of my beloved son? Of course, Allah Ta'ala ransomed him. Aise hote hain khuda ke maanne wale bashar, kar diya qurban bete ko khaleelullah ne. Now that was khaleelullah. And look at what was zabihullah, his son Ismail. He didn't object also, oh father, what is this that you are doing? He said, satajiduni inshaAllah min as-sabiri. Allah, Allah, jab lagi halqum par chalne churi. Just imagine that scene. Allah, Allah, jab lagi halqum par chalne churi, dam na mara aur na karwat li zabihullah ne. No objection at all. Go ahead, O my father. Whatever Allah has ordered you do, you will find me of the sovereign. So now we are not being tested like that. Our tests are very, very simple tests. Get up for Fajr namaz, make your 5-10 namaz, be honest, be truthful, don't cheat, don't gamble, don't drink alcohol. Don't do those things which are going to cause you harm. We are told not to do those things that will cause us harm. And gain the muhabbat and marifat and closeness of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. If we live our life like that in this world, we will enjoy the best of this world, the best of qabr and the best of akhirah. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala make it easy for the entire ummah. May Allah Ta'ala bless us all with the best of dunya, best of akhirat, remove the difficulty, pain, suffering, problem of the ummah around the globe, and also mankind around the globe. Just look at yesterday, there was a hoax email that went around. And even some radio stations announced it, that 3:30 there's going to be a cyclone in Durban. And look at the panic that was there. How many parents phoning the madrasa, yeah, there, please, you can release our children quickly, there's going to be cyclone, cyclone, cyclone. Nothing wrong, we have that concern. So many people left their businesses and ran away before 3. So we believe in everything, and yet it was not even the truth. Azab of Allah Ta'ala doesn't come long before time announcement is made. Look at in the countries of the world wherever azab has come. Suddenly it comes, suddenly. Yes, sometimes we are given chance to make tawbah istighfar. So let us not be negligent. May Allah Ta'ala bless us with the best.